Father, I thank you for your presence here this morning. And Lord, I pray that right now your Holy Spirit would just minister. Lord, that you'd bring encouragement, that you'd bring conviction, that you'd bring change this morning in all of our lives. May your will be done now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, they're all kind of a challenge on what do I preach on. I mean, I know I want the topic to be on mothers, and I was thinking last year I preached on Proverbs 31, but then that might have been 2 years ago, and then I was thinking about one time, I don't know why this came to my memory, about talking about forgiving your moms, and I didn't know why I preached on that, and then found out later why I preached on that for someone that was here. And so today, I kept having come to mind about the parable of the four soils. And so that's where we're going to be going in just a minute for Mother's Day. But Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." So that verse kept coming to my mind because I know many of you have claimed that verse. Many of you are still praying for that verse for your children. Some of you maybe have had kids that have gone astray and you're holding on to that verse. Some of you, you've got little kids and you're praying that you train them the right way. And so I want you to keep this verse in mind as we talk about the parable of the four soils. And so if you want to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3 is where we'll begin. It says, "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." And as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about that moms, dads, Christians, we're always scattering seed. Whether you believe it or not, you're always scattering some kind of seed wherever you go. It might be a joyful seed. It might be a complaining seed. It might be, you know, a greedy seed. It might be a prayerful seed. But when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're around your friends, when you're at the ball fields, when you're at the at church, when you're tucking your kids in bed, when you're waking them up in the morning, you're always scattering some kind of seed in their life. Verse 18 in chapter 13 says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path." I want you to think about that, and think about that with your kids. Think about that with the coworkers. Think about that with the people that you're ministering to. And think of how you have an enemy trying to steal what you're trying to accomplish. You have an enemy trying to steal what God's trying to do. And I don't know about y'all, but if you've ever had had conflict with somebody, and it's like, man, you're just they go against everything that you're doing, and that's what the devil is doing. He's trying to pull your children away. Honestly, he's trying to pull your children away at this very moment. Verse 20, "The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is a man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away." Can I tell you that your kids can see in your life what you're really made of? And they can see if you're falling away quickly. They can see when you're shook, when you have problems at home, when there's a crisis, what you're really made of. And you know, all of us think we're great. All of us think we're pretty wonderful. I did. I thought I was pretty great and wonderful. But then whenever my kids start giving me feedback and telling me things, and then I think, well, how are you getting that? But then I, instead of me getting mad at them, you know, they think I got a quick temper. They think I get mad easy and all this. And it's like I want to tell them sometimes, you don't realize how long I've been holding it in. And all at once it explodes, you know. But in all honesty, I need to look at my life and examine it, because if that's the seed that I planted in them, then I need to know. And am I planting that in others, or do I have good roots? Or am I falling away quickly? Am I going back? Just Friday at work, I was talking to Crystal for just a minute, and they're putting more pickups on me. They're putting more pickups on me, and I'm already running behind, and I'm like, I'm not Superman, and I'm just full of anger all at once. Why do they keep pushing me this way? I can't do it. Ugh. And then, 5 minutes, I thought, just calm down. You need the overtime anyway, Pete. My attitude changed, and I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. But my first reaction was anger, and it's like, what is... Ugh. But after I stop and I pray and I meditate a minute, but how many people, when you're pushed and you're pushed, and then that anger comes because you don't have any deep root, you stay angry, and then you retaliate, and then you keep going, and you keep going. Verse 22, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it and make it unfruitful. Y'all, I think that this is one of the most common seeds, one of the most common areas of soil that we see in so many of our lives, because we worry. We worry about our health, so we run to doctors. We worry about our finances, so we run to our credit cards, or we run to the bank. We worry about this, and we worry about that, and we run to everything other than God. Instead of just stopping and praying and digging in deep. And that seed is snatched away of what the Lord's trying to do. The deceitfulness of what the world has to offer is pulling us away and pulling us away and pulling us away. And we think, well, we're teaching our kids the Noah's story and Jonah and the whale, and we got our little Christian music that we play for our kids, but they can see in our lives what we're really made of, and that's the seed that we're really planting in them. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So let me ask you today, what's being sown in your life, and what are you sowing in the lives of others? What are you sowing in your coworkers? What are you sowing in your kids? Galatians 6 says, Galatians 6, 7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. You know, some of us, we say, I don't understand why my kid's so angry. Why they're always ready to fight. But they see mom and dad angry. They see mom and dad fighting. We say, I don't understand why you know, I'm always broke and I never have enough. But do we sow into others' lives and helping others and doing for others? You know, some of us are very disappointed, and we never admit it out loud because we say our kids are wonderful and great. But on the inside, we're disappointed with some of the decisions they make. We're disappointed with some of the attitudes that they have. And we go, why do they have that attitude? Well, my question to you is, well, what did you sow into them? Is it video games? Is it television? Is it, hey, kids, I mean, I'm not going to lie. When my kids were little, sometimes it was a Disney movie so we could get a break because we were tired. Kids, watch that movie for a minute. Y'all done it too, haven't you? You know, you need that break, but then But how many of us, instead of using that as a break for a moment, that becomes their life? Get your iPad. Get your video game. Get out of my hair. And then we wonder why all these crazy things are coming out of our kids. And we wonder what happened. Well, what did we sow into them? What kind of seed did we put into them? It says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. When we used to run the church bus around here, and for years I drove that church bus, me and Kyle a lot of times would drive it, and there was kids, y'all, and their parents would be at home, and all we was a babysitter for the night. Well, you know what? You're sending your kids to church, and you're staying at home. And I remember one night, there was a certain house, and their kids always came, but they never came. And one night we saw a man, and I don't think it was a husband. I think it was the mom's boyfriend carrying in movies and drinks and popcorn. They were having movie night. Kids were going to church. Woohoo! You know, you can preach and say, oh, that's good, kids, you need to go to church. But when you don't reflect that in yourself, they're going to grow up to be just like you. They're going to grow up and do what you've done. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You might say, Pete, I don't even understand what you're talking about. Well, let me break it down a little bit more for you. How many of you, you're sowing to the Spirit by reading your Bibles, by praying? I was just listening on the way in to church, and I don't really know that much about her other than she's Billy Graham's daughter. Her name's Ann Graham Lotz, and every morning she comes in on the radio on my way to church at 10:30, and I only hear like 5 minutes of it, but everything she says I always really like, but I heard her saying this morning that she remembered her mom praying all the time. Her mom was constantly praying. She said, I remember late at night seeing the reflection in her window of the light on, and her knelt by the bed. And she said, it wouldn't matter how early in the morning I got up the next morning, whether I had to study for a test or get somewhere early, my mom would be on her knees praying. She said, my mom, I seen constantly praying for her children, for her grandchildren, for her great-grandchildren. She was always praying. And y'all, we think, oh, praying doesn't do any good. It does good. It's reaping. It's sowing to the Spirit. And when you're sowing to the Spirit, then you're going to reap that fruit. And that's what this is talking about here. We sow to the sinful nature. Well, what's the sinful nature? I'm not going to lie. My sinful nature is to be lazy. I'm tired. I want to kick back. I want to watch TV. I want to watch a good movie. I don't want to do anything. That's my sinful nature. My sinful nature is to eat till I'm sick. And that's my sinful nature. That's what I enjoy doing. But I have to fight against that. But the Spirit says, Pete, you need to be praying more. You need to be reading your Bible more. I've worked all day, Spirit. I'm tired. I can't get in a study. I can't read. Here's what I'll do. You guys like that I just confess how terrible I am sometimes, but what I do is I'll read, but I'm not really reading. Does that make sense? I'll get my chapter in, but I'm thinking about the Hogs and the baseball game. I'm thinking about all I've got to do. I'm thinking about just being tired. I'm thinking about an achy shoulder. I'm thinking about something else, and my mind is going a million places, but I'm reading the words, but I'm not receiving it. Y'all, this what I believe the Lord's talking about here is the real sowing in to the Spirit, the real praying, the real seeking God. And then verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. You know, sometimes when you're doing good, you're doing good, and you never see any good come from it. You get tired. I don't understand. And sometimes with our kids, it's hard work, the discipline. You got to stop them. You got to correct them. You got to say, don't do that. And for all you moms with little kids, and you're probably learning this, sometimes it's not just screaming. Get away from that. Sometimes you got to get up. You got to walk over there and you got to physically do something. And it's hard work. And sometimes sowing to the Spirit is hard work. Why? Because what did we just read about the parable of the soils? We have an enemy trying to pull us away. We have an enemy trying to stop us. But let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So some of you, the verse that we started with, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Some of you might say, it's just so hard training. But y'all, if you don't give up, you don't give up. You keep on and you keep on and you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit for strength and you ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and you really seek God, it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off because God cannot be mocked. You'll reap what you sow. And as I was thinking about all this and I was thinking about what have I really sown in others' lives? What have I really sown in my kids' lives? And I thought, you know, how many of us we don't see being produced in our kids and we wonder why, but then if we really reflect back, we never sowed that into them. I've told this story before, but it's so eye-opening. A lady one time, we were sitting and it was a family member, but I'll just leave it there. And we were talking about the Lord, and her kids didn't know any of it. And they were young teenagers. And all at once, it almost looked like somebody had slapped her because she realized just because she knew it, her kids didn't. Why? Because she hadn't been teaching them. She hadn't been training them. She hadn't been taking them to church. She hadn't been praying with them. She hadn't been doing Bible studies with them. And the realization of, oh my goodness. Because just because you know it don't mean your kids know it. That's why you have to train them. That's why you have to teach them. And that's why I ask, what have you been sowing into your kids? What have you been teaching them? What are they seeing in your life? And as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, you know, sometimes what comes out of my kids is the bad habits that I had, and I don't want them to have that. You ever notice that? That some of the seed that falls on the best soil in your kids is the seeds that you wish you wouldn't have sown in them, the things that you wish you could take back. But they see those moments in your life, and they're looking at your life, and they're noticing what you're doing. And if it's a bad habit, they're going to pick it up. They're going to do it. So we got to be careful how we're training. We got to be careful what we're displaying. And I was thinking about discipline. How many of you are sowing discipline in your kids? Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." You think about that. When you don't discipline your children, they're going to bring shame to you. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." So you hate your children if you don't discipline them. You know, we think it's love to let little Susie, little Johnny, little whatever their name is, to, oh, isn't that cute? We video them being disrespectful. We video them being you know, funny, and they're two or they're three, and they sass mom or dad, and we post it on our Instagrams and I don't even know, does Instagram get likes or thumbs up? I don't know what. We post it and you get all these likes and everybody say, oh, ain't they so cute? But then when they're 6, 7, and 8 and they're talking back to you, it ain't so cute. And then when they're teenagers and they're not coming home when they're supposed to and they're out doing things they're not supposed to, it ain't so cute. See, when we love our children, we discipline them. And we discipline them the right way. It says with careful instruction. But can I ask you something? Because see, I was thinking about this and I thought, you know, you reap what you sow. So it's really easy to see in your kids they're wrong, right? It's easy to say when your kid's acting up, when they're being disrespectful, when they're being rebellious. But how many of you recognize the lack of discipline in your own life? You reap what you sow. Maybe your kids are so rebellious. Maybe your kids have no discipline because you have no discipline yourself. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the areas that we need discipline. And I kind of got called out yesterday. Our data plan is if we go over so much more by Wednesday, we got to pay extra. So Hayden gets on there and is like, "Who's using all the data?" Well, Madeline's not here this morning, but Madeline's number one. But you know who number two was? And I'm like, "I ain't even on my phone that much." Oh, maybe I'm on it more than I thought. Just thinking about discipline. How many of us are disciplined enough to set down our phones when we're at home and actually be with our family? Be a parent to our kids. Be a husband. Be a wife. How many of us are disciplined enough when someone's telling us a story to set down our phone? I'm not going to lie. We've had a little conflict sometimes in the house. Crystal's like, "You're not even listening to me, Pete." "I ain't been on my phone all day. I just get, you know, I'm a driver. I can't be on my phone." I get defensive, but you know what? She's right. Sit down on the stupid phone. Talk. Don't be staring at it. I want to teach discipline to my family, to my kids, but I'm not disciplined enough to set down my phone with my time. Are you disciplined with your time? Last week we talked about teach us to number our days and the time that we have. And all of us have the same amount of time in each and every day. Nobody has more, nobody has less. But some people, they're so good at their study time with the Lord and their family time with their families. And some of us, it's like we just feel like we're running like chicken with our head cut off and just running around and we can't ever get anything done. Maybe we need to be disciplined with our time. Maybe we need to be disciplined with our money. You know, our kids can see what mom and dad's buying, what's important to mom and dad, what's not important to mom and dad. We want our kids to grow up and be maxed out on their credit cards and always stressed out and always worried. No, we want them to be disciplined. We want them to have a better life than us. Well, they see that. How many of you are disciplined in your prayer life? You get up every morning and you spend time with the Lord. Before you go to bed at night, you spend time with the Lord. How many of you, your children, could be like that Ann Graham Lotz and say, "I saw my mom praying in the morning, I saw my mom praying at night, and not just a simple prayer. She's down on her knees praying for me, and I knew it." You know, it's easy to tell our kids, "You need to be disciplined, you need to study, you need to get your homework done, you need to get your room clean, and, you know, get your room clean, but mine looks disastrous. Go clean your closet, but my closet, there's clothes everywhere. You can't even walk in it." It's easy to point it out in their life, but you know what? They're looking at our lives and the seed that we're sowing in them. What seed are you planting? I want to go back to Deuteronomy 11. And the thing is it's not the words that we say, but it's the life that we live. I wrote this down when I was preparing, and I said, wrote down, training is just not words. It's reflected in your life. See, I can say all I want to say, but my kids are going to see what kind of life I'm really living. I can say all I want to say, but my coworkers are going to see what kind of life I'm living. We're trying to plant good seed. We want to be the ones that are producing that good crop. But people are looking and they're seeing what's reflected in our life and not just the words that we say. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, it says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. What's that saying? It's saying the Word of God, the law that He had been given there needs to be in our homes. It needs to be what we talk about. It needs to be at the forefront of our thoughts and on our tongue and on our lips. I'm not very good at this. But how many times when your kids need advice, when you need advice, does Scripture come to your mind? And you can quote them Scripture. You can give them Scripture. Or Scripture comes to your mind and how to handle a situation, what to do with it. See, many of us, we'll watch Oprah. I don't even know if Oprah's still on anymore. We'll watch Dr. Phil. We'll get all the self-help books and training our kids. And y'all, some of that stuff, it probably is good. But really, we don't need more books from the bookstore. We need the Word of God planted in our heart, planted in our lives, and be in our home. And not just something we do on Sunday, not just a little prayer we say before bedtime, but it be at the forefront of our thoughts. It be at the forefront of the words that we say. Jump down to verse 26 and it says, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse if you disobey the command of the Lord your God and turn from the way." Can I tell you something? We want homes surrounded by God. We want our kids to grow up to be godly children. Some of you may already have grown kids and you say, "Pete, I've blown it." It's okay if you've blown it. Start over now. Let them see how God's changed you now. Let your life be real of who you are in Christ Jesus. I confess to y'all all the time about how I mess up. Some of you won't tell your kids how you've messed up. You tell them, "Dad blew it, Mom blew it." There's still things in my life that I've done with my kids that break my heart and I regret it to this day. And I'm like, why did I act that way? Why did I do that? And I wish I could take it back, but I can't. All I can do is learn from it and try to be a better dad now. Try to be a better husband now. Try to be a better preacher now. But we say, God's saying, "See, I'm setting before you a path." And see, you guys can leave here today. You might already be bored. You might already be thinking about your lunch and getting in line at the buffet for Mother's Day and beating everybody else out of here. And you might be saying, "I wish Pete just shut it down." You know, at work, they're always messing with me about the offering at church and dipping into the offering and everything. They don't even know. And I just let them. I just, whatever, you know. And this week they said something about, "Yeah, old Pete, he locks the doors till he gets that offering and he won't let anybody leave." And I said, "Yeah," I said, "well," I said, "the better offering, the shorter the sermon." And they all started laughing. Y'all know me though. That's with the Lord. But y'all, that's some of our attitudes, is how quick can I get out of here? Kick the kids in front of the TV, kick back and enjoy my afternoon. Y'all, our kids are seeing our lives. It's reflected in the way that we act and the way that we talk. You know, they make us watch these safety videos at work. Do y'all ever have to watch those safety videos at work? Oh my gosh, they're so boring. And the safety that they want us to follow. I delivered to Amanda's company one time, and before I could even go on their premises, I had to watch a safety video to go on to the property. And then they gave me a hard hat, they gave me glasses and everything else. But one thing about those safety videos is we sit there and watch them, and most of the time everybody's talking and laughing, not even paying attention. And when we go out to work, I'd say 70% of what was in that video nobody follows, and it's not enforced. You know why they show us those safety videos? So if we get hurt, they can say, "You signed a piece of paper, you've seen it, it's not on us, it's on you." That's really why it is. I'm going to keep going here. I stepped on a nail one time cleaning out a trailer, and I was just going to go in and put on a Band-Aid. The boss seen my sock was bloody, and he's like, "We got to fill out paperwork." I'm like, "You're kidding me. I've seen it, you shouldn't let me see it. I wasn't trying to let you see it, I was just trying to get a Band-Aid." Y'all, they, I had like, this was 5-6 years ago, I can't remember, like 50 questions about why did I step on the nail? How can I prevent stepping on a nail? What can I do to be a better employee? What can I? And I told my boss, I said, I guess I can quit. I don't know. I mean, I was being careful. I just stepped on it. It just happened. You guys say, Pete, you're rambling. Where are you going? Well, where I'm going is that all that safety, all that stuff, if it's not applied, it's worthless. And most of those videos are worthless. And many of us treat the Word of God that same way. We say it's worthless and we don't really apply it because maybe we hadn't seen it. Things turn out the way that we thought they should. Maybe we were praying desperately for something and God didn't answer our prayer in the way that we thought. Maybe our kids have gone astray as they become adults and we say, I brought them to church. I did what I was supposed to do. Did you? And, okay. And if you did, you think about God. Adam and Eve, He put in a perfect environment, right? And they still sinned. Sometimes it is going to be on your kids. But I'd hate to think that my kids are where they are in a bad way because of what they saw in my life. Are you doing everything you can to follow God's laws, to follow God with all your heart? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, I can find it. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting and training in righteousness. Can I tell you something? You want your kids to grow up to be godly men, to be godly women? This is how you do it. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You don't need Dr. Phil. You don't need the latest self-help book. You need God's Word so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, each one of us are thoroughly equipped. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you're an employee, and whatever you are, we can be thoroughly equipped for where God has placed us. If you're a truck driver like me, or you're a CEO, if you're a secretary or a stay-at-home mom, God's Word can thoroughly equip you to suit your situation. It's studying it. It's learning it. Chapter 4, verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing in His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the Word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. I want you to think about that for your home, because that's out of season. In season's here on Sunday morning. You're all prettied up and you put on your church face and your church smile and, oh, I'm so wonderful. But when you get to the car and you get to the parking lot and you get at home and your kids, that's out of season. But are you still showing Jesus? That Ann Graham Lotz was saying how her mom had 5 kids that she raised and she said, never once did I see her lose her temper. She said, why? Because she was always on her knees praying. She was always seeking God. I can't say that. My kids have seen Dad lose it, but it's usually when I'm not full of God and I'm not full of the Spirit and I'm sowing to the flesh instead of the Spirit. Moms, you got a really hard job. And I think that with the younger moms and the younger kids, you got an even harder job than I had, and my kids aren't even that old. And what so many moms are facing today, what Crystal tells me, that some of the things going on at school and with good Christian family and their kids, it's just heartbreaking. And you got a tough job. But can I tell you something? That when you seek God and you really train those kids and they see Jesus in your life and they see the Holy Spirit in your life and you're sowing in good seed in them, your reward's going to be great if you don't give up. I was thinking about how the actors and actresses and professional athletes, and you know, if they score a touchdown, they make the winning shot and the camera goes on them, what do they say? Hi, Mom! Hi, Mom! Or they win some award, I want to thank my mom. Where's Dad at? But it's like, Mom, Moms are loved. Moms are cherished. I should have looked it up. I wasn't going to talk about it. But I'd heard a study one time. This was probably 7 or 8 years ago in the prison system. The Hallmark had give prisoners Mother's Day cards, and it was so successful. It was thousands and thousands of cards they'd give to these prisoners to send to their moms. And the flip side of that, they went to do it on Father's Day, and nobody wanted any. Dads, yours will be coming up in June when you hear about that, you know. But moms, you're so important to your children. You're so important. And some of you work full time. And you're the homemaker, and you're trying to train them. You're trying to do everything right, and you're so busy. And some of you that do, you stay at home, and then you know, the world looks at you and say, you're just a stay-at-home mom. It's not just a stay-at-home mom. Just stay-at-home moms are awesome, you know. We have all different ones here. We have some that stay at home. We have some that work. But each one of you, God says, will thoroughly equip you for the job that you have to do if we're seeking Him, if we're seeking Him with all of our heart. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So I've been hitting on the moms. Now, kids, everybody in this room has a mom. Your mom may be gone. Your mom may be someone that you don't get along with. Your mom may be someone that's wonderful and great and you talk to every day on the phone. But all I can tell you is what the Bible says is to honor them. Whether they're the greatest or whether they were the worst, you're to honor them. And it's the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you. And then I wanted to read this lastly, Proverbs 31, 30 through 31. And I encourage you all to read Proverbs 31. We usually preach on it for Mother's Day, but it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Like I said, it doesn't matter if you had the greatest mom or the worst mom. If she's still alive, I encourage you to honor her. I encourage you to praise her. You never know, because maybe you giving honor and praise to her might be the seed that she needs planted in her life to become the mom that she needs to be. Let's stand. And I'm going to have an altar call. And then we're gonna honor our mothers. Maybe this morning you say, Pete, I've not planted good seed in my own life. And I've been reaping that. And I've been having produced in me anger. I've been having produced in me lust. I've been having produced in me jealousy, greed, whatever it's been. Maybe you've been there and you say, I need to start planting good seed in my own life. And I encourage you this morning to ask Jesus to forgive you. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, I think, about He makes His mercy new every day, and you be forgiven today. You can change your life. You can change the trajectory of your whole family today. And maybe you've just been a mom or a dad or an employee this week, and you just say, I've been planting bad seed. And not that I've been planting bad seed in my own life, but with my kids, I've been losing my temper. With my boss, I've been hateful. With my whatever. We're always scattering seed. And as children of God, we need to be scattering good seed. And maybe this morning you just say, I haven't been. And you need to ask God to forgive you this morning and get into God's Word so that He can change your life and that you'll have that good seed, that fruit of the Spirit to sow. However the Lord leads, the altars are open. I'd love to pray with you and watch and see what the Lord can do. We always want to honor our moms, and you know, we can't possibly give you what you all deserve. I wish we could, but we can't, you know. But Amanda always does a great job at getting gifts for the moms. And so to honor the moms, if some of you children will come up, and if your mom is here, come get her a gift. And if your mom is not here, maybe you can give a gift to someone whose children are not here, okay? Okay, so have all of our moms got a gift? Well, God bless you all. Have a great Mother's Day, okay? Y'all have a good afternoon.